Well, we are in a series on prayer, and all this month of January, we're in 21 days of prayer. I hope you're doing this with us. Anybody? Anybody doing 21? Okay, about 21 of you. That's good. You misunderstood. It's 21 days of prayer. We need everybody hop in on this. We've made it easy for you, trying to prime the pump, so to speak, as far as your prayer life. So you can get this card, you can go online, you can go on our app, and follow along with us for the 21 days. Every day there's a topic that we'll be praying about, a verse related to that, and then kind of a sample prayer. Make it a real prayer, though, out of your heart. And like I said, that'll kind of get primed the pump as we're all praying the same things on every day. I believe this, the best way to learn to pray is to pray. And so to get you going praying that way, the goal of this whole series is to help you have confidence in prayer so that you would have consistency in prayer. The real goal is that you, say me, that you would have a powerful, productive prayer life. I've noticed it my whole life. I've had seasons of it myself where I felt like, well, so-and-so prays, they get answers, and you don't feel that so much about yourself. And really, I believe the goal would be that all of us would arrive at a place where you feel confident in prayer and you realize my prayer life works. And understand this, prayer works and prayer matters and prayer changes things. But the biggest problem with praying is we don't. We find reasons why we don't pray. We get busy, we think about it, we worry about it, we text about it, we, you know, call our friends about it, and what we need to do is pray. The Bible says don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Now remember this principle though, or this whole idea here. It's not prayer that you need. It's God that you need. And prayer connects you with God. Come on, everybody read that with me. It's not prayer that you need, it's God that you need, and prayer connects you with God. Amen. I want to encourage you, go back and review. This is the third week on this topic. The first week we talked about your future is paved in prayer. Last week I shared with you six really vital elements, kind of a how-to pray. And really go back. I've had a lot of great feedback from some folks that kind of gave them some traction and format to kind of run on. Today, I want to talk about some kinds of prayer, some types of prayer. And so let me start with this. How many of you know that, back up, how many of you have had some prayers answered? All right, good. I'm going to let that sit just a minute and ask you again. Think about it. How many of you, God has answered some prayers for you? Okay, and be it that you prayed it or somebody else prayed with you or for you, you've had some prayers answered. Understand this too, prayer is supernatural. So there's aspects of prayer. I mean, the fact that we are invited into relationship with God, and then by virtue of relationship, we're invited into communication with God through prayer, I mean, that's mind-blowing. Are y'all here? You don't have to be quiet, okay? Okay, that's just mind-blowing. That's supernatural that you and I, by the blood of Jesus, we just sang and celebrated about that, that we actually can come into relationship with God, invited to communicate with God through prayer, that you and I can talk to not just our Heavenly Father, but He is Almighty God. He's the Creator. He's the Redeemer. He's God, y'all. God, y'all. We're in the South. And just to realize that, that's pretty mind-blowing that we can do that. And prayer is supernatural. I want you to realize there's some things about prayer we're never going to be able to wrap our full brains around or our understanding around. So, look with me in Colossians chapter 4. And let me just remind you, instead of worrying, pray. Instead of giving up, pray. Instead of just surrendering and saying, well, this is a mess and I guess it'll stay that way, pray. And it's just vital that we are people that pray, have confidence and consistency in that prayer life. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Will you read the verse with me? Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. First of all, I want to go to that thankful heart. We should have a thankful heart. Communion is really about having a thankful heart, being reminded of the goodness of God to us and having a thankful heart. But I honestly believe this. You should never, ever talk to God without giving him some thanks. I think it's ill-informed, and I honestly think it's kind of rude that God has been so good to us that whenever any interaction, any kind of prayer that you have, I think it should include thanksgiving. Amen. I've prayed with people that, you know, are breathing their last. I've done, I don't know how many funerals. I don't know how many weddings I've done. House dedication, this or that or that or that. You know, there's not a prayer that we pray that we shouldn't include in it, no matter what it's about, no matter what it's for, that we should not also include thanksgiving, that we should have a thankful heart. Can I get an amen out of you today? The second part I want you to notice here, it says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind, with an alert mind. The Amplified Bible says, alert and intent. The word also means awake and watchful. It has to do with focus. It has to do with intensity. It has to do with skill. You can get more and more skilled in prayer. It is not sloppy prayer, sleepy prayer, mindless prayer, empty prayer, a rushed prayer. It is not religious. It's not lethargic and just dragging. Instead, it is with an alert mind. If you've ever had surgery, or if you're ever going to have surgery, how many would like your surgeon to have an alert mind? Yes. Instead of thinking about that, thinking about, I forgot that in the car. I'll be right back, you know. You'd rather be alert and ready, focused, intent, and has some skill. Amen. A musician, you have to be alert. There's so much to look at. You know, when you key signature, time signature, what is my part? What are we doing here? And to know all these things and to keep in rhythm together and listen constantly to make sure you're in tune with others, there's a lot with that. And then baseball. I grew up playing a lot of baseball. Learned to play in my yard first with my dad, and I've always enjoyed batting. I just would rather be a batter than anything else. And so my dad would underhand throw soft and then later overhand a little harder. And I played with my brother all the time and my neighborhood buddies we played. And then when I got old enough, we played Cap League, okay? And Cap League, your team was called whatever color your cap was. And so we were the Gold Caps. And we'd play the Royal Blue or the Red Caps or the Green Caps. And quite a competition. That was a joke. But in batting there, it was a whole different story because now we had a pitching machine. How many of you remember a pitching machine? All right. You ever been hit by a pitching machine? It's actually good for you. Because I remember like the second day of practice and I got up there and I'm okay in my yard. I'm okay with my dad. But now I got this machine and I'm just kind of, and second pitch, boom, right in the leg. But you know what it did? It woke me up that I had to be totally ready. And coaches are always yelling at you, get your shoulder up, come on, you stay in the box and you get ready and you get an alert mind. You get focused. Keep your eye on the ball, get ready. And you're not worried about who's pitching. Oh, I heard they're good. I heard they throw a fireball and all this. You've got to get all of those things and just say, I am a hitter. I am a hitter. And you've got to get ready just to hit that ball and be ready to go. You can't just get up there and like, you know, you've got to be alert in this. And I'm just trying to illustrate for you in prayer, you're not just a hitter. You're not just a batter. You're a prayer. And it can't be this sloppy, sleepy, religious, kind of careless kind of thing. You've got to bring some skill. You've got to bring some intensity to it. You've got to bring some alertness that you're paying attention to what you're doing. It's a supernatural thing. We know what our part is to do in this. And I'm telling you again, prayer works, prayer matters, and prayer changes things. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Now, basically, kinds of prayer, types of prayer, it depends on what's going on. So let me throw some of them out for you. Mealtime. How many of you know you should pray for your food? 21 of you. You should pray for your food. And part of it is just giving thanks, okay? Giving thanks. Bedtime, you should pray. And you may want to think about that, moms and dads, what you're praying over your kids. This, if I should die before I wake, I don't know. That's, stop scaring the children. Prayer of repentance. I've done that. Have you done that? Where you just kind of hit your knees and hit your face and God forgive me and I turn and receive his mercy. Prayer of dedication. You know, something you're endeavoring to do or something you're setting apart for the Lord. Prayer of agreement, very powerful, that you agree with somebody in prayer. You pray two or three together. There's times where you pray for somebody, pray with somebody. We have prayer teams after every service up by the screens there. Come let somebody pray for you or pray with you. That's a very important thing. Intercessory prayer is important. Individual prayer, super important. Corporate prayer, that's when we all pray as a group together. Reactive prayer, something happens and in reaction to that, response to that, we pray. And then there's proactive prayer that you kind of get ahead of things. And then one of the things we're going to bump into today too is to pray in the Spirit. So let's look at all this. Basically, there are three kinds of prayer. Three kinds of prayer. The first two are generally understood. I find that part of this, people need to grow in their understanding of it, but essentially there are two, the first two that I'll share with you today are generally understood, and then the third one that I'll share with you is often, too often, misunderstood, and I'm going to try to give some clarity to that today. Let's go right to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we've got a couple of things going on here. So we've got prayer, prosuke, is the Greek word. You don't need to remember that, but it's general prayer. So just bring that up, prayer. Everybody just say prayer. So this is general prayer. This is praying over a number of things. It's general prayer. It's what most people do most of the time. And it's a general overall kind of prayer. It's to obtain good and blessing. It's to avert some evil and so forth. But it's general prayer. Then we've got the second one, and they tend to couple together. We saw it in both of these passages, supplication. Everybody say supplication. And the Greek word is diasis, and you don't need to remember that, but it's specific. So the first brand of general prayer, and this is specific prayer. It involves a little more of intensity. This, and again, it's specific. It's usually there's a problem. How many of you have had a problem? Or a pain, or a person, or a person who's a pain, and a problem. Okay, then you need supplication. And you pray specifically about this, and or them, and you spend some time on that. Now understand, you are not heard for your much speaking, Jesus said. So if you do a big, long prayer, that doesn't mean you're going to be heard. Because here's a prayer that always gets heard. Help! Or, oh, Jesus. I mean, sometimes we don't even have the words. You know, but it's not for your much speaking. But sometimes you need to pray a little longer. And just get clear. Because sometimes it takes a little bit to really, for you to get kind of through the curtain, so to speak, of your emotions, your thoughts, and everything else. And get settled and get into a place a prayer and supplication where it's specific, it's got some intensity to it, it has some duration to it. And this is what supplication is really about. It's like I do what it takes. I take my place in prayer, and get this, until I fully transfer the burden from my soul into God's hands. The old timers called it a release. You'd pray till you had a release in prayer. And so you need to get that where it doesn't mean that everything's all finished, but you have delivered this. You've fully transferred from the burden from your soul, and you know that you've gotten it over into the hand of God. And there's a whole lot of things I think you need to spend that kind of effort and time in, supplication to help you. So we've got prayer, supplication, and here's those two are generally understood. The third one here is to pray in the Spirit. Now, I don't know what your tradition is, your religious tradition, your background, your journey. Here's what my journey is. I am, it's like some people say, well, I was this or I was that. I am a spiritual mutt. Do y'all know what a mutt is? No real clear pedigree there. Okay? And I have been, and I think God purposely did this. My spiritual journey has taken me through a lot of different experiences and flavors, if you will. And I think it serves me well because guess what? That's who you are. That's what makes up this church family. And some of you have been maybe in a religious tradition or background or denomination, maybe all your life or whatever, but we're all here together now. So what I'm about to teach you, I want you to just open up your heart and mind, and let's see if this is biblical, okay? To pray in the Spirit. Because let's be honest, okay? I've seen some weird stuff. I've seen some wild stuff. Y'all with me? And but if it's in the Bible, I want it. If this is really of God and this is part of something of prayer, then I want that. Even though maybe your denomination or your background never brought it up or even spoke against it. This is what we've got to do, is rightly divide God's word and come to a place where, God, if that's in your word, then I want that in my life. Can I get an amen so far? Amen. So let's talk about this. Praying in the Spirit is a wonderful, supernatural gift, but it is often misunderstood, and I think because it's not taught on properly or not exercised properly. And one of the reasons I think it's misunderstood is because of this. If you knew the scope, if you knew the range, if you knew the power and the beauty of what God's doing with praying in the Spirit, and if you were the enemy, you would cause confusion around it. You'd try to get people, don't go near that. Don't go near that. And I'll probably say this again later and say, well, I've seen some people be really weird with that. Can I tell you something? How many of you know there's weird people? And how many of you know they're going to be weird no matter what they do? I mean, if they're collecting stamps or they're doing hang gliding, if they're weird, they're just going to be weird. And they make their way into all kinds of things. And guess what? Some of us are weird. But what we've got to do is be biblical. That brings us into the place of freedom concerning all of this. Amen. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Are you still there?
Yes.
It says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So there's all three for you right there. All three of them are right there. Look with me in Jude chapter 1, verse 20. There's only one chapter, but verse 20. But you, beloved, say that's me. Say, that's me. Come on, don't get shy on me here. Building yourselves up in your most holy faith and, come on, help me, praying in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 and 15 in the Amplified Bible. Watch this carefully. For if I pray in a tongue, let me stop right there. The Greek word is glossa. It's translated tongue, but can I tell you what it also means? Language. Language. Come on, everybody say language. So Revelation tells us that heaven will be made up of every tribe and kindred and nation and tongue and people. So it's a language. And so this happens to be a language. Remember I told you prayer is supernatural? Okay. This is a language that is unknown to you. It's unknown to you. Now, hold on with me. If I pray in a tongue or an unknown language, my what? Okay, remember we teach this all the time. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body, okay? So if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my what? My mind, that's part of my soul. My mind is unproductive because it does not understand what my spirit is praying, then what am I to do? Not be weird. What am I to do? I will. Come on, everybody say, I will. So that's something you do, you decide and do. I will pray with the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit that is within me, and I will pray with the mind using words I understand. Is that in the Bible or not? And I use the Amplified Bible there. That is very, very sound scholarly. So we've got two things here. We've got praying in the Spirit, and we've got praying with the understanding. So we've got the Spirit part of me, by the Holy Spirit in me, is praying something that my mind doesn't understand. And then I've got my soul, my mind, I'm praying with the understanding. We are to do, you ready? Both. So there's prayer, supplication, and praying in the Spirit. So part of praying in the Spirit or with the Spirit is that the Spirit helps me in prayer. That is, that He would energize me, that He would guide me, He would remind me, He would prompt me. That's part of it. But then there's a whole nother level that is even a little more supernatural, and that is the praying in the Spirit that is a private, devotional, and let me give you this phrase, prayer language. Come on, say that with me. Prayer language. Now, this might just be me, okay? So let me be vulnerable in front of you. When I hear somebody say tongues, when I hear that, to me, it just has a little weird connotation for me. And why? Because of my experiences along the way. And so throws me off a little bit. So over years and study and language and listening to some people that were very, very versed in this, I love the concept of a prayer language that He gives to us. Now, the other thing about tongues, and it's Bible, and if that's what you say, that's fine. I'm just talking for me and my comfort and confidence levels. It is also an antiquated kind of term. And then also, you know, I've just watched it over the years maybe be emphasized in the wrong way. And so I like it being sound. We must rightly divide God's word. Are y'all hearing me? We must rightly divide. And I wish I had more time today to even give a little more on this, but we will in future times. But this is the thing. A prayer language, praying in the Spirit, get this, is not a Pentecostal thing. It's not just for a group that are Pentecostal. It is not a charismatic thing. It's not just for a group that are charismatic. And it is not a weird thing. Even though we already talked about this. You ready? It's a Bible thing. It's a Bible thing. So if it's in the Bible, part of our challenge, and again, the enemy was saying, I'd really like to keep them away from that. So let's have somebody, you know, wrongly emphasize this. Oh, if I could give you some of the history just in the American church of how it's been pushed into the wrong emphasis. What we've just got to do is rightly divide God's word so that we don't miss out on the range, the beauty, the scope, the power of being able to pray in the Spirit. Amen. Now, it is a private thing. It is devotional, and it's powerful, and it is wanted, and it is needed. Let me give you some benefits of this. Are you still with me?
Yes.
All right. First of all, one of the benefits Scripture tells us is you can pray the perfect will of God. Now, you and I, on our own, with our mind, with our understanding, I don't know the perfect will of God. But the Holy Spirit, who's praying with my spirit in this prayer language, knows the perfect will of God. And if you pray the perfect will of God, God's going to answer it. So I find your percentages of answered prayer, and I'll show you a combo here in just a moment, the percentages of answered prayer is way up when you're including praying in the Spirit. Second of all, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray when we don't know what to pray or how to pray. So we're to pray both. I will pray with the understanding, and I will pray with the Spirit. So for example, this week, somebody that's very, very dear to us and to this church family had a very, very serious surgery. And there's a lot of question about how to do and what to do and what the recovery was going to be and all of those things. And so I prayed with my understanding what I knew. And guess how long that took me? 20 seconds. Because I didn't know much. So I prayed for them, and they got their surgery on Thursday, and it's this time, and guide the doctor and help them to heal quick. But guess what? There's more to the story. And the Holy Spirit knew that everything of that. And so I prayed what I did know, and then with the Holy Spirit helping me, I was able to pray what I did not know or understand. And he helped with that. And I'm glad to say things that got dicey at one point and, oh no, plan A is not working out, straightened out, and they ended up with a better result than what we were even hoping for to start with. Amen. And you understand that's not because, well, it's because I prayed. No, no, no. And be careful of this. When you start to get prayers answered, do not get into prayer pride, okay? Wow. Let's keep going here. Also, the benefits, you give thanks better than any other form of giving thanks. It is deeply spiritual. It builds you up. It magnifies God, and you can actually pray out mysteries. Now, let me touch on this real quick because I have to delineate this. When we see tongues in the Bible, there's actually two different gifts. And one is public, and one is private. And I'm talking about the one that is private. In 1 Corinthians 12, we see that there are 9 spiritual gifts. And honestly, the bottom of the spiritual gifts there is the public use of tongues. And I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about private, that you pray in the spirit. You have your prayer language. So one, the private one, is you speaking with God. The public one has to do with God speaking to men. Now look at this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. In the Message paraphrase. If you praise him, literally speak to him in the private language of tongues, the language there, God understands you, but no one else does. For you are sharing intimacies just between you and him. So this is private, devotional, very intimate part of your prayer time. It's practiced devotionally. It's practiced in intercessory moments. It's a way to speak to God. It's a way to worship God. And you can pray in the spirit prayer language. Hear me. I hope you're tracking with me on this. You can do that with others who also do that. But follow this, because Scripture's clear on this, and that's where we have to rightly divide. You don't use your prayer language, you don't use, quote, tongues, in front of unbelievers or what the Scripture calls the uninformed. Because it says when you do that, you will alienate them, and I'm going to quote directly from Scripture. You ready? And they will think you are crazy. A lot of people already think you're crazy. First service, it was pouring down rain, lightning, y'all know. Y'all were home, safe, warm, dry. And a whole bunch of people came out, and I bet their neighbors thought, see, look, they're looking out the blinds. See, it's raining, storm, and they're still going to church. So they already think you're crazy. But listen, we don't want the word of God discounted from people because they think, what are y'all? This makes no sense. And it doesn't make sense. Remember, the mind is unproductive. I don't get, but listen, it's my spirit by the Holy Spirit in me praying. I will pray in the spirit. I will pray with the understanding. And it is private as a part of your life. Paul said this in church, in public. He said, I would rather you speak 5 words that people understand than 10,000 words that people have no clue. And he said this in 1 Corinthians 14. You should desire rather prophecy. But understand what New Testament prophecy is. New Testament prophecy in the Greek language, by definition, is this: inspired utterance, inspired teaching, and preaching. So what we want, and the lowest of the gifts, is the public use of gifts, and it has to have the co-op of interpretation. He said, rather than that, and there is a place for that, but he said, rather than that, desire inspired utterance, preaching, and teaching. But back to my point, God has given us a gift that all of us could have that be a part of our personal prayer life. Wouldn't you like the Holy Spirit to truly, truly help you in prayer, to pray out the very perfect will of God? So how do I get this? How do I get this? Well, in Luke chapter 11, it says this. It says, which father among you, that if your son came to you and said, Father, could I have bread? You would give him a stone. Or if they came and said, could I have some fish? And you gave them a snake or a serpent. Or if they said, could I have an egg? And you would give them a scorpion. And then he says this, you earthly fathers being evil by comparison, being so limited by comparison, even you know how to give good gifts. And then it says this, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So listen, my job today, hold up. My job today is this. It's a private thing. You don't have to receive it in public. You can go to your heavenly Father and say, and explore this more in God's word. Let your faith build on this. But realize, it's not a charismatic thing. It's not a weird thing. It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's a Bible thing. That God wants us to have prayer and supplication and praying in the Spirit. Our holdup is, my mind is saying, wait, I don't necessarily know what's going on right here. And the Bible says, exactly, exactly. It's the Holy Spirit in you praying. My mind is unfruitful. What do I do with that? Well, then I'm going to pray in the Spirit, and I'll pray with my understanding. And prayers are going to get answered. And the boundaries, the scope, the reach, the power, the beauty of this is just unbelievable. I first got my prayer language when I was 12 years old. And I've had seasons of my life where I just kind of forgot about it. I don't know why. And I repented and come back and said, God, please, that gift. And I'm telling you what, it is a part of my day. And it didn't weird me out. I don't know. Maybe you think I'm weird, but it helps me to be less weird. And empowers my life and helps me to pray way beyond what I could pray just with what I know. Amen? Amen. Prayer works. Prayer matters. Prayer changes things. Instead of worry, we can pray. Instead of giving up, we can pray. Instead of just surrendering, well, this is a mess, and I guess that's the way it's going to be, we can pray. Prayer really makes a difference. I want to read to you a quote, and then we're going to finish with this today. This is F.F. Bosworth. He wrote one of the great classics on healing called Christ the Healer. Watch this. It'll be on the screen for you here. A spirit-filled and praying church produces an atmosphere in which it is easy for God to work and hard for the devil to interfere, because this atmosphere is the Holy Spirit himself, who is more than a match for the devil. Amen. Did y'all get anything at all out of this today? I pray so. I pray so.